Well, happy Father's Day, dads, and one of the most favourite days of the year, and I love it because I think fatherhood should be honoured. In a world where it seems to get less and less honoured every year, I think we should make it louder and louder how we honour fatherhood. True?
Yeah.
Cool. I just want to take this time. I think two of my kids might be in the auditorium here. I want to say thank you, because when I was a jerk and trying to figure this all out, made heaps of mistakes, you forgave me. You grabbed hold of a call. You didn't let go. You kept your heart attached. I want to say thank you. Two of my kids are up at the mountains there. The other one's out serving your kids there. But Charlie and the boys, thank you so much. And that's what makes your dad, kids. And you've become great adults. And I don't think I could have done it without such good hearts that you have. You turned your hearts to God. And also I want to honour my wife, who we're a team. And God has really been able to pour his grace upon our family. Because I've got to tell you, the amount of mistakes we made, the amount of issues we had to face, and sometimes we didn't face them well. But God got us through. I don't have any children anymore. She's 18 now. And but I just wanted to honour them. Is that cool? Got a few dad jokes because no one's told any yet. I bought some spot remover the other day and accidentally spilled it on my dog and now he's gone. Never mind, that's funny. I went to Bunnings and bought some batteries, but they weren't included, so I had to go buy them again. Last night I dreamt I was a muffler. Woke up exhausted. Yesterday I told the chicken to cross the road. He says, why on earth would I cross the road? Susan's getting it. Went to Coles and the cashier line said 15 items or less. So I changed my name to Les. I put instant coffee in a microwave and almost went back in time. If a word in the dictionary was misspelt, how would we ever know? Anyway, sorry, that's the best I got. Except for, you know what, there's nothing more eye-catching than a short person with an umbrella. Sure. Today I want to honour you fathers, because I think fatherhood is probably what's needed most in the world right now. I don't want to hold back from saying how important I think the role of a father is in this world. And we have, I think, in society, a leadership crisis. We don't see real leaders anymore. We see people who try to fake it, but they don't have the heart of a true father, which is to lead for the sake of others. We don't actually have people who are willing to lay down their lives in high places anymore, but for self-gratification and pats on the back. That's what I notice. And I think it's one of the greatest holes in our society right now. And I think what we need to do is see a rise of fatherhood. And it's got to begin in the church. Because I think God is the key to fatherhood. I think he's the key to getting this right. Not that we always get it right, because we make mistakes. We're jerks sometimes. But luckily he has this thing called grace. I thought about it. God could have presented himself as anything. A mist, clouds. He could have been an aura. He could have been a giraffe. But he chose to come and portray himself as a father. Why would he do that? Why did, out of everything he could have been. Now this new age, oh, he's a parent. No. Father is the word that's used, because the word mother is not used. The reason why is because I think the role of father has such an important role to play. It helps mothers become great mothers. If the father does what the father does, everyone's safer. If the father does what the father does, everyone benefits. And I think that's what's missing in the world, but yet we've got a God who portrayed himself as father. And I think the reason why It's because of its importance. We have a world right now which is really dominated in media and political systems, departments with Marxism. Blind Freddy, just look at it. And Blind Freddy could see it. It's Marxism which hates God and hates fathers. Yeah. Karl Marx was a terrible man who hated fathers, hated families. And people are actually buying into his rubbish. And I get angry about it because it's the very thing I think which is needed in society, but yet it's the most attacked. You hear the words toxic masculinity. Do you know what? There are toxic males, absolutely. But it's a long way from even being close to a majority of men that are toxic. Understand? Sorry, I'm getting a bit passionate here. Because it's important. It is so important. In fact, I would say the health of generations is reliant on it. If we want to strengthen generations, it is a real big uphill battle without fathers taking their place. It is a big uphill battle. And dads, if you don't feel that on your shoulders, I pray that by the end of the day you do. Because it's a burden that comes from the Father, and you are able to carry that burden. Yes, it's a burden. Absolutely. I'll never forget the first day I met Jesse. The little rosebud lips red and full of gunk. Looked like a lizard. They kept the gunk on him for ages. Yeah. No, it wasn't like that. I remember holding him, thinking, you feel this about me? I couldn't even describe how it felt. Then this burden came on me. Rick, I'm not giving him to you. I'm lending him to you. And I'm going to ask for him back. Would you be his father? How important is fatherhood? It is incredibly, incredibly important. Jesus, he came into the world primarily, I think, to reveal God, this big, all-encompassing creator God, as father. As daddy, if you really want to look at the true theology of it, as daddy. And that daddy, the second part of his message was, wants you in his family. He wants to be your daddy. He wants to be your father, loving, caring. That's the purpose why Jesus came. And he made a way for that to happen through the cross and his resurrection. Jesus actually said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. In other words, I'm his son. Dad and me, we're one. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen that. He said, and I'm only here to do the Father's will. It would have been a strange concept for all these Jews who understood the Torah, because calling him daddy? My goodness. Abba is the word they used. They wouldn't have understood it, but we actually have the benefit of hindsight, looking back and thinking, yeah, it makes sense. Why wouldn't we want to grab this whole idea that he is the Father? And he came as a father to show how it's done. He portrayed himself this way. And when it comes through Jesus, the way Jesus operated, the way Jesus spoke, the way Jesus taught was from the heart of the Father. Why? So that this could be portrayed throughout the world for the saving grace of the world. Father modeled it so well. He modeled it how it should be approached. Paul, writing to the Corinthians. Corinthians were a bit of a messed up church. They had a lot going on. Pastor Adam White has a incredible YouTube snippets. And he just taught on this the other day about how bad the Corinthian church was. But there's this passage in 1 Corinthians 14:14-15. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, leaders, managers, yet you do not have many fathers. He saw the issue of the church, which was pretty messed up. The families that were pretty messed up. Your issue is this. Fathers aren't doing their jobs. You don't have fathers. We need fathers. It's a big call. But when the fathers rise up, my goodness, something amazing happens. Something incredible changes. And we sang a song about it. for generation after generation, up to 1,000 generations, the blessing is there. I believe I walk in that. Because the fathers and grandfathers that I knew in my lineage have been men of God. I thank God for them because I'm part of their 1,000 generation blessings. I'll grab hold of that. Everyone in the world benefits when men become leaders as fathers. Now, I just want to stop there and say just for a moment, ladies, women can be leading like fathers too. In fact, some ladies have to. And I want to applaud you. Running it solo, well done. Congratulations. You've done well. Because I think the style of leadership, of father leadership, is very different to motherhood. Don't get me wrong, you don't get a bigger fan of motherhood than me. But today's Father's Day. And women, you can do this too. I want to share a story today which really touched me. I've heard it probably 100,000 times, this story. You have too. But there's an incredible story in it about fatherhood. In fact, this story was told by Jesus, I think, to highlight this is what fatherhood's about. And I want to talk to, and I want us all to look at it as if, yep, you dads, this is a really big cheat case for you. You can actually look at this and go, yeah, I've got some cheats out how to do this now. But for all of us, to give what the world needs, because we lack fathers. Yeah? John 15, verse 11 we'll start with. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the youngest son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Prodigal actually means wasteful. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine or pigs. For a Jewish boy, that's really bad. And he would have gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. And no one gave him anything. Verse 17. But when he had come to himself and said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? Bread enough and to spare. And I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Whoa. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, I love this, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. He's doing his spiel, right? I've sinned against heaven and your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And I read it. The father interrupts him. But the father said to his servants, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. There's a story called The Prodigal Son. There's a great song by a guy called Keith Green. If you want to Spotify that, listen to it. It's fantastic. Beautiful, beautiful portrayal of it. But it's a story of this wasteful son who wasted things. Maybe indulgent son. Maybe selfish is another way to call him. Foolish, definitely. Jerk, absolutely. The good news is we've all been that guy. Really, we've all been wasteful, whether it be time, our talents. And there is a betrayal and there's a general consensus that Jesus said, we're all prodigal sons. But there's a father, the prodigal's father. And like I said, this parable really is really told to everyone, not to indicate how bad we are and how lucky we are, but how amazing Father is. The gracious father. It's an incredible story. Here we have this son. Give me my inheritance now. I want it now. Give it to me now. Father says, okay. gave it to him. Wasn't long before he was out of there, spending it on wine, women, song, gambling. Just wasted it. But then things got hard. Feeding pigs in a stall. Wow, hits rock bottom. And then he repents. I've sinned. He turns around. He realized, this is my fault. Starts heading back. Thinking, I've blown it. I can't really be a son anymore. I can only be a servant. And the human person inside of me said, too right, you can't be a son, you've blown it. You had your chance, buddy. Come on, anyone else think that? You indulgent little brat. But the father didn't think like that. The father felt very, very different. His response was incredible. What we learn from this father. Today, what can we learn from the prodigal's dad? It's my message, the prodigal's dad, it's the name. Let's look, verse 20, and he came and he rose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Wow, picture that in your mind. He was watching out for his son all the time. He ran to him. He embraced him. There was no wall between them. There was no offense. Offense, I've realized offense is the most wicked thing. Have you noticed that? It is wicked. It is, it's like poison. It just gets in there, Andrew, and it just burns you out. This father didn't have that. He was in desperation to see his son. This creepy little kid who was just terrible. He couldn't wait to see him. I just want to see my son. Why? Because he's my son. He was in desperation to reestablish the relationship. What can we learn from this? Dad, your children are prodigals. Really are. I know that because I was one. All of us. People around us, there's prodigals everywhere. Wastefuls. How do we respond? Do we respond like the father? Are we just desperate to be in relationship? Because relationship's important, right? Relationship is what really, really everyone really wants to be in. I'm very much an introvert, but yet I love relationship. Cherish it. Another word for relationship is family. I crave family. I want to be with family. Why? Because family matters. It's one of God's greatest designs. And the father in this portrayal was so desperate just to have that absent family member back in the family. It was a yearning and a desire. The father didn't cut him out and say, I have no son. He didn't do that. The father didn't say, oh, well, at least I've got another one. He didn't do that. I'm wondering how much he prayed. Yearning, looking down the road. I think it's interesting he didn't go after him. I think that's interesting. Maybe the hardened heart of the son. The father knew, I can't get through the hardened heart. He did say that about marriage. Jesus actually said that, you know, in marriage, I've allowed divorce, or Moses allowed divorce simply because your hardness of heart. Once a heart gets hard, you're better off just waiting, praying and looking down the road waiting. That's my take on it. The importance of heartstrings. Now, the prodigal sons might not have kept his heart towards his father, but his father never took his heart from his sons. He kept it out there. Maybe I get a picture of this heartstring hanging out there with a hook, just waiting to hook him back in. Got to have our hearts connected. And this is what he did. He said, man, I really, really want that relationship. Let's read on. Verse 21. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in sight, and I'm and in your sight no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father interrupts him, says to his servants, bring the robe, put it on him. Not to stop there. I just want to be a servant. Just make me one of the servants. I'll just work for you. Father's response is, you're not my servant. I'm sorry. You are not my servant. You will never be my servant. I have a million servants if I want, says God. You're not his son. You're not his servant. You're his child. Once a son, always a son. It wasn't negotiable for the father. He wanted his son not just to come and do what I want done, not to put up the fence, not to mow the lawn, not to feed us. No. You're to sit around the table with us. That's what I made you for. I think that's how fathers really, really should have a heart for. These are my children. God doesn't want servants. He refused to have his son be demoted to that of a servant. Think about the heart of the father for that. How often do we think, oh, well, God will be pleased with me if I just serve more? It's not his case at all. He cannot be more in love with you. He's maxed out on it, if God can ever max out. He just loves his sons. Doesn't matter. This son did incredible things, terrible things. But what it did was, because his father saw him as a son, the son's repentance turned him directly to forgiveness. It's like God forgave and just left it hanging out there, right? It's in the midst, this forgiveness, because no offense. And then as soon as the son turned, smack, straight into forgiveness. Should we always forgive? Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't hang on to unforgiveness. Unforgiveness just kills your insides. But that doesn't mean the son is instantly forgiven. He's got to receive that forgiveness. And when he repents, bang, it hits him in the face. Bang. You're forgiven. He's not a servant. He's got no penance to pay. There's no reparations here. Fathers don't want reparations. Fathers want their sons. Hear me? He doesn't have to earn it. How often do we think, oh, you know what? I'll let you in, but you've got to have to earn it. That's not the heart of a father. My grandmother used to say, Mamie, what's the use of forgiving someone if they've promised not to do it again? Wow, how profound is that? Oh, I'll only forgive you as long as you don't do it again. What's that? That's not the heart of a father. He shut his son up and said, shh, bring the stuff. He's my son. He didn't say, I'll give you this coat only if you promise not to do it again. Wow, that's the heart of a father. You think you've hit rock bottom? You think you've done worse? You'll still get the presents because you're not a servant. You're a son. Dads, your children are a gift from God. Like I said before, he's not yours to keep. I'm giving you my child so that you can have the honor of raising them. Wow. I remember one night, way, way too late, I was up and this black and white movie came on, and for some reason I just started watching it. And it was an old boarding school, like Dead Poets Society sort of thing, or Hogwarts, that sort of boarding school, right? I've got some generations there. Anyway, what was happening was all boys' school, and this old cranky old teacher was retiring and a new cool teacher was coming in to replace him. And they introduced the new guy. Everyone's cheered. This guy's cool. Hey, good looking, young, whoa. And it was, you know, just big cheer. But then they had the retiring teacher come up and he was an old cranky old coot. And when they brought him up to the podium, not a sound. You could hear the pin drop and you hear his footsteps. And he stood there in silence behind the podium, old retiring teacher. And he says, I would like you young men to forgive me because somewhere along the line I forgot that the highest call is to mold, shape and care for young lives. So please forgive me. Then he went and sat down. I'm sitting there going, because it is. Can you think of a higher call than to raise, mold, and shape young lives on behalf of the Father? That's the most incredible call. Wow. We get to do that, and we get to do it all the time. I'm helping do it with grandchildren now. But do you think if my grandchildren for some reason weren't around, do you think that would even stop me? It would never stop me. Because there are young lives around, some of them don't have access to dads. So therefore, guess what I can do on behalf of the Father? I can actually say, hey, my name's Rick, and you're extremely cool. Give him a handshake. I believe in you, son. I think you're awesome. That's how we lead in this world. That's how dads lead. We mess their hair up and say, you look awesome now, mate. Turn their baseball cap around the other way. Just do things which dads do. As long as it's safe, legal, and moral, right? But also we read in here, and I'll read it up here. Father said to his servant, bring out the best robe. Put it on my son. Put a ring on his finger, on his hand, and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us celebrate and be merry. Let's look at these gifts for a minute. Bring the best robe. Do you know what the robe represented in the day Jesus spoke about this? Their identity. Their robe indicated which family they belonged to. It had their markings on it. And I think what's significant here is Jesus explaining what fathers do is they speak identity over their children. Do you know who you are? You're God's son. You're incredible. You're a man of God. I remember sometimes when our kids would mess up or misbehave or do something rebellious. I remember countless times saying, listen here, Judah. Men of God don't act like that. I remember saying that several times, not just to Judah, all of them. This is what a child of God does. They do this. What I'm doing is I'm instilling their identity. We're living in a world where identity is a big issue right now, and this Marxist society are trying to tell them they're things they're not. Do you understand that? Incredibly intelligent, so-called intelligent people, oh, you're not this, you're actually this. You're kidding me, aren't you? What more startling is the world just go back and say, oh, yeah, okay. No. Your identity is child of God, primarily. In fact, I would say only. Once you understand that, everything else flows out of you. I'm God's son, and no one can take that away from me. Do you understand that? Before everything, it doesn't matter what those false accusations are. It doesn't matter what mistakes I've made. Even if I've been the most incredible jerk, I'm still God's son. Bring the best robe, put it on my son. Son, you wear this robe and you wear it well. This is what men of God do. This is what women of God do. Don't forget who you are. I remember every time, Panthers had a really good night last night. Big Panthers fan, but I remember the days when we didn't have too many good days. In fact, I remember one season, I think we won one game. I remember my brother and I used to go to the football and didn't watch much game. We just wrestled on the grass. Remember those days? And you're waiting for him to kick a goal so he can fight other kids for the ball. You know, because there was that much space. I think there was about 1,000 people in the whole field thing. You know. And I remember in those days, whenever mum and dad would drop us off somewhere, they'd always say the same thing. Remember who you're representing. Remember who you're representing. And we say, yeah, God, no. You're representing me. And I think that's a reminder of your identity. You're a burrow. This is how we act. And I don't need to pick you up from the police station. This is what fathers do. A ring on his hand. Do you understand what a ring meant in those days? The ring was like giving them a credit card. Here's my credit card, and there's the PIN number. Go. That ring was their seal. They could purchase anything on behalf of the Father. That's powerful when you think about it. I think fathers are here to remind their children of their inheritance, of what God has for them. Do you realize the favor of God is on your life? Do you realize you don't have to be fearful? Do you realize if you just believe, only believe, all things are possible? That's our inheritance, people. Fathers do this to their children. Do you realize who you are? yes? But do you realize what you are? You're an heir of God, co-heirs with Christ, Romans tells us. Wow, Father, it's your job to remind them of this. Put that ring on their finger. Teach them how to utilize the ring, the call of God on them. Teach them that there is a call. Teach them that this blessing is there on their life for a purpose, and that is to be a blessing. You understand that? Blessings are never meant to come to you, they're meant to go through you. Yeah? One of the biggest criticisms of the church is this very thing. It must go through us, not just to us. Oh, yeah, God will bless you, bless you, bless you. And that's true. I think he does. But never forget why. Prodigals think it comes to them. True sons understand it goes through me. Yeah? Sandals on his feet, shoes speak of what God has in store for you in the way of callings. What he's put you on plan, you know, in Galatians, or is it Ephesians? Ephesians. Galatians. One of them, sorry, the armor of God. Ephesians. Talks about the shoes shod with the preparation of peace. In other words, you've got a job to do, the preparation. You're prepared to go. You're prepared to do something for God. And I think this is what fathers do. They speak about the call of God on them. My prayer for the years when I pray for the kids in bedtime, Lord, help them understand that they are men and women of God, and Lord God, that you would use them for their lives. Use them. Their destiny is huge. Imagine what God could do with their life. Wow. They understand that their life is a gift from God, again, to be a blessing. That God has called every one of us with a purpose. And I really don't want them to miss that. Fathers remind, they put the shoes on their feet. And the final gift there, you've got the robe, you've got the ring, you've got the sandals, but you've also got the fatted cow. Oh, I love it when you kill the cow. Can you smell the roast beef now? Beautiful, that spit, just, yum. This was the ultimate celebration. This was planned. It was fatted. They made it fat for a reason because that's where all the flavor is, right? It wasn't just, oh, just keep a cow over there. No. This is the one they've been preparing for. That's why the other son got so upset. The prized cow? You spent it on him? It was the ultimate celebration. Dads, we celebrate life. We have traditions. I love the fact that my wife is obsessed with traditions. I didn't always think that until I understood the power of it. A little tradition, one of the little traditions, I was talking to someone last night at a party and he just said, tell me about your family. What do you do on family dinner? And I said, well, one of the things we do is we hold hands when we say grace. And no one knows not to eat until you hold hands. That's a little quirky, little uncomfortable for some. Hey, Wocky? Oh, she's our kids. Uncomfortable for some. You've got to hold someone's hand next to you. But it's a tradition. And I love it. Okay, Grace, and you see little Ezra, little Jetty. Hands out. That's tradition. And I think we celebrate everything. Currently, every second week, we have a birthday. Lord, help us if we ever forget one. It's traditions. We celebrate. We celebrate through the valleys and we celebrate on the hilltops. We celebrate everything. Why? Because it's important. We celebrate together our victories and we even celebrate when the victories are yet still away, far away. I think it's important. That's what the Father does. He killed the fatted calf. He allowed his exuberance to be seen. Let's show all the world that we're celebrating this. I think this is what fathers need to head up. What's your quirky traditions? We've got some big ones. Thursday night before Good Friday, we always have Passover feast, which is just lamb kebabs on a big level. But remembering Jesus, and I remember one year, Naomi had this idea. Let's get the kids to wash our feet. Now, there's big benefits to that. But it's a bit weird, don't you think? Isn't that weird? Not for the grandkids. They thought it was the most amazing thing. And then when we explained to them that Jesus did it and what he meant by it, wow, these little itty-bitty kids learned something amazing because someone had a tradition to celebrate. Oh, it's a bit unco, don't you think? Yep, welcome to the Burrells. Very unco. I love the way that it cherishes the moment. Dads, cherish moments. Don't get so busy doing stuff and working through things that you actually cherish the moments. Yeah, the first steps are going to be incredible, Brent. Cherish them, man. They're great, and then you better get fit and keep your eyes well and truly open. Cherish the little things. Why? Your kids need you to cherish them. It makes life wonder. It makes life exciting. Dads, you can get bogged down in the have-tos, and there are some have-tos. There are some things you just have to labor through. There are, there's no doubt about it. But don't let them get you bogged down. Cherish the moments. I wish I'd done this more. I didn't do this enough. I wish I'd cherished, you know, that great school mark. Oh, you're giving out fourth place prizes. Absolutely I am, because he's my son. And my son's going to see a very proud daddy no matter how he scores. He's going to cherish every moment. Yeah? Hearing me? That's what fathers do. Make a big deal of your kids. My parents were brilliant at making big deals of my very average things. Oh, wow, fantastic. Rick got 51%. Woohoo! Well, they say 51% is 1% wasted effort. I'm so glad the surgeon who operated on me didn't get 51%, right? Just finishing up. Matt, if you can jump up there, that'd be great. Thanks, mate. This whole story of the prodigal son is a story of grace. I want you to remember this is my final point. Grace is really hard to grasp. It is really huge, grace. It's beyond our human thinking. It is hard to embrace in your head. It's even harder to walk in. Grace. It's easy to receive. It's really hard to give. But even when you do receive it, I don't think you'll ever really figure it out. Grace. For those of you who don't really understand what grace is, it's not just a lovely lady's name. Grace is basically this, and this is how I like to explain it. You deserve the hiding of your life. God calls you in, embraces you, and gives you an ice cream. That's grace. This son, in human thinking, deserved none of that. But he got it all. It's showing what the father is really like as he modeled what leadership is about. And that's grace. Son, I don't blame you for anything. And it was made available because of the price Jesus paid on the cross. That's how the father can say, you're my son. You're not just someone I used to know. You're my son. And I've been waiting for you. Come here. Fell on his neck, kissed him. This is my son who was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost and now he's found. I'm just so excited. That's grace. That's grace. You see, the more and more you understand grace, the more and more you're able to walk in grace for others' sake. And I think one of the biggest things fathers really need to learn is this beautiful, incredible, intangible thing called grace. You begin to understand it by walking in it, and then when it's sort of like a cycle, you understand the grace that God has for you, and you begin to walk in that grace thinking, I am his son. Wow. But then I can be like him and be gracious. So I can really walk in it where everyone else can see it now and be beneficiaries of it. This beautiful grace. Like I said, I thank my kids for really being gracious towards their dad because I stuffed up a lot. I think back sometimes, every now and then I have a memory of how much of a jerk I was. learning process, right? Grace. Grace. I'm so glad that I can look back now as a grandfather. I sort of wish I knew back then what I know now. Old head, new shoulders would be really cool. But I don't. But what I can do as a grandfather is keep pouring out grace. Hopefully my sons and daughter won't have to learn how I learn various things. Maybe if I walk in this grace, they will learn to be gracious to the more generations they have. So I'm going to ask every father to stand, if you would again, please. And no, I don't have any more Kit Kats to give you, but... yeah. Every one of us need grace. You might have missed it. That's okay. Luckily, we have a father who says, "You're not my servant, you're my son." Luckily, we have a father who says, "I will put my robe around you and put my ring on your hand, and I've put shoes on your feet for a purpose, Dad. And I'm going to celebrate every part of the journey with you. I'm not leaving you." So that you, in turn, can turn around and say, "You're my son. I'm going to put a robe on you. I'm going to put a ring on your hand and shoes on your feet, and we're going to kill some calves ourselves, celebrating every part of the journey." So that they one day will turn around to their sons and say, "Here's a robe. Here's the ring my dad gave me. Here's some shoes. Let's get a calf." You see how it works? We begin to walk in this grace. Now, I suspect there might be some men here feeling really awkward right now. Awkward's not bad. Because you look at what's happened, you think, "Oh, if only. Grace, my brother, grace. Grace, it's amazing." There's a song written about that. Amazing grace. And I'm going to pray, my prayer over every one of us today is grace. That you would feel this supernatural, amazing thing that the Father has for you. Grace. Why? Because you are called to lead like the Father led. Not like the world sees leaders, like the Father led. Because, gentlemen, in this church, you're the hope of the generations. When you begin to do this, women get released. They can become everything they're amazingly designed to do. When you do this, every child is safe. When you do this, I feel like the Spirit of God moves powerfully when men begin to lead like the Father. So let me pray for you. Father God, I thank you for all the dads here. Incredible men. All of us have different paths and different journeys, but we have the same Father. Now, Holy Spirit, would you connect us to the Father right now in our hearts? I pray for the supernatural pouring out of your grace over every man right now. Lord, would you do what only you can do? Let the grace of the Father pour upon every father here today. So we will in turn walk in that grace before our children. Let your anointing come, Holy Spirit. And with faith, Lord God, we receive it. With grace and faith, Lord God, we'd say we will walk in this. Now, Holy Spirit, would you begin to speak to every man here? That he would hear your voice about him. That you would give him a vision for his generations. Some men here, you need to realize your generations have not been lost. They're just prodigal. Watch them come down the road. Picture them coming down the road. Get ready to run to them, embrace around their neck and kiss them. I hope you got the coat ready, the ring ready, the shoes ready, and you fatten the calf. Because men, you're feeling like it's lost. It's not lost. They're just prodigal. Father, I pray you'd bring the prodigals home. May they repent and come on home. And they'll be received by their dads here and you. We thank you for them. And I thank you for every man here right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, man. Let's all stand. God bless you. And I pray that your family would be blessed generation after generation after generation. That's the key. I want you to know in this church, we honor this stuff. Because I actually seriously think this is what God honors. I really do. Like I said, he could have been anything he wanted to be. But he chose to be a father. Pretty profound when you think about it. He could have chose the strategy of reaching the world. He chose a family. Abraham, Sarah. Start of Adam and Eve, they didn't quite make it, so he formed another one. Finally, when Jesus came, he did it through an unrelated family. Family is very important. We must work on it all the time. And dads, sorry ladies, dads, you're the key. You're the key. You empower women to be who they're called to be. Amen. God bless you.